Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show where we talk about everything that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and play into every bard stereotype. I am one of your hosts, Kata MacArthur, and whom am I joined by?
Well, you're of course joined by your color commentator, your best friend, and someone who feels like this episode is about to get very freaky, Cole Browning.
Cole, you've rolled to seduce before. We've all done it.
That is true. But now I'm just kind of questioning, what are you going to make me roll to seduce?
I could answer your question with a question. Cole, how familiar are you with the concept, the literary concept of monster fuckers?
Oh, God.
I'm talking stories like Soul Eater by Lily Maine, Fear by Catherine Ann Kingsley, Whispers of the Deep by Emma Hamm, Wed to the Lich by Leila Fey, Claimed by the Flame of the Fey by Mallory Dunlin, etc., etc. Shout out to all those authors. I've not read any of these books.
I haven't either, but I'm assuming this is just if the fairies in Sarah J. Maas books were uglier.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
For those of you who are fans of A Court of Thorn and Roses, I'm sorry.
But while we're not exactly talking about books we haven't read, I guess there are parts of these books that we haven't read, but instead we're talking about the age-old Dungeons & Dragons tradition of seducing the monster. Or, if we, instead of seducing the monster, if we would rather slay the monster. Today, we're stealing the idea, Cole, of one critical role, and we're asking the age-old question of lay or slay.
You know, weirdly enough, I've seen some of the critical role ones before,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I'm going to carry the banner of the good man, the greatest of men, Travis Willingham, more than you are.
Do you think? I feel like Travis backs down from it more often than not.
No, I feel like
he said slay more.
He does say slay more, but it's only because he has standards. Sam, questionable.
Oh yeah. No, well, I don't want to say no standards because I don't want to insult Sam Riegel's wife. But maybe in game less standards.
I would say the amount of things that I feel like have not been actively seduced in mm-hmm. the Vox Machina series
mm-hmm.
by Sam's bard, whose name is just escaping me right now.
Scanlan.
I feel like there are so many things that he has seduced that just didn't make it into the TV series.
Oh, yeah. All right. There's a lot cut out and rearranged in the animated show. A considerable lesser degree of seduction going on. And maybe the show is worse off for it. You decide.
I think
our
it is.
Show will,
Bards are the best.
Our show will be all the better for the deep conversations we have over whether to have sex with these monsters or chop their heads off.
You better have picked, like, some decent-looking monsters.
I feel like there's one or two on there. One or two that you might not mind. And then I can't remember the rest of the ones I put because I made this list a while ago. And I purposely not looked over it. But if we're ready to begin making our decisions and having these very important conversations, Cole, do you want... I have an awkward amount for any dice that we might have on us. But Cole, do you want to roll me a D25 to decide which monster to talk about first?
You are absolutely insane for asking for a 25-sided roll. This is why we have random number generators.
I was about to say.
But now I'm also questioning whether I can get access to a 3D printer to give me a 25-sided dice.
I'm sure there's a printout for one.
All right. Well, let's see what the RNG gives us. The RNG has decided 19.
19. 19 on our list is... Oh, okay. This is a decent start. 19 on the list is Medusa. Cole, I'll let you start. Lay or slay? I feel like this one's fairly easy.
You know what? Respect the Matt Murdock. I actually think that living life as a blind man wouldn't be that bad.
No.
Lay.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Medusa, she's got one thing that might make this well, she's got snakes for hair, but two things that might make this difficult, and one of them you can just, you know, put on a blindfold, close your eyes, turn off the lights. So many, I feel like there's several solutions to that one problem. And the other one being snakes hair, there are positions you can go into to avoid that, right? Unless the carpet matches the drapes, in which case this becomes a bigger problem.
You absolute bastard.
Too late, you've already said lay.
I had not considered that. But look, here's the thing that I'm considering, at least in my vision of Medusa and, like, yeah, not the D&D one.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Medusa in D&D has the bottom half of a snake.
No. In D&D, now I need to pull up the monster manual. I think she has legs.
I don't think she does in Dungeons & Dragons. That's why when I think of Medusa, I'm going off of Clash of the Titans.
Oh, so you would lay that one? You would lay Snake Bottom Medusa?
No, I would not.
No?
No, the Snake Bottom Medusa would be a slay.
Okay.
I'm just going off of basically normal person with snake hair.
Mm-hmm. And we'll, you know, turn you to stone if you look at her.
If I look, but again, blindfolds, just blindfolds. Being blind.
Yeah, in the Monster Manual, at least 2014 Monster Manual, she's got legs.
Fair enough.
Legs, kind of gray skin. Most of the snakes are even covered by a big old headpiece, so.
You know, that makes it even better.
Exactly. Well, I feel like that's a pretty easy call. You know, questioning of the carpet and drapes and etc. But I feel like overall that's a lay. I feel like that's a pretty easy one.
Yes, that's one of the only ones I'm pretty sure I'm going to choose lay for.
All right. If you're unoriginal. But cool, you want to give me another random number?
4?
4. Bone devil. Could take that in lots of different ways. You know, are you familiar with what a bone devil looks like, Cole?
I don't know if I am. I have a suspicion, great. But...
No, I'll share that with you, or you could Google it.
I'm kind of scared of what you're about to send me.
I'm excited to see your reaction. I've never run a bone devil, but I have run a bone fairy in a game that I just use the artwork for bone devil for. Because I think it's a great design. A great for nighttime activities? You decide. And this is where we cut out the silence of me and of the time it takes for me to send you this image. Cole, if you look at your texts.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yes.
Does this have the ability to, like, shapeshift?
There is no shape-changing, polymorphing, or disguise selfing listed on this stat block. But there is a variant with a hooked pole arm. If that's up your alley, just imagine what you could do with that.
No.
No?
Because look, here's honestly the thing. This looks so much like the weird spider creature that I remember that basically put Starfire through like weird alien puberty to get rid of her acne or something.
Yeah, her porn acne.
I feel like that episode was a drug trip, and I'm not even sure I'm remembering it right. But if it is...
It was a weird analogy for puberty, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, if it is, the writers were on something strong.
Mm-hmm.
But this reminds me a lot of the horn acne demon.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see the similarities. So you're going lay, right?
Nah, I think I'm going to go slay on this one.
Really? Nothing you can think of to do with that barbed tail?
No.
The really long fingers, nothing. Audience members, I guess we'll have to describe for our listeners. It's really pale, except for on the tips of its horns and fingers, where it's like really blood red. Also, it's got a stinger tail. It's got like almost dragonfly sort of wings. Really tight skin to make it look all skeletal and shit. And also a barbed tail. I know I mentioned that. The hooked pole arm is not displayed in this artwork, but, you know, we can imagine. This is all about imagination, Cole. Working with you. We're working with what we're given.
Oh, no. I know imagination's going to have to come up at some point. But yeah, no, I'm definitely slaying this bone devil.
I understand. I might agree with you. Too many sharp edges to hurt yourself on.
Yeah, I don't want to be, like, actively bleeding out.
Unless you're into that.
I think we should move on to something.
I don't know if piercing's
less violent.
A kink. Everything's a kink to somebody. But sure, we can move on. Give me another random number.
Nine.
Okay. This one, I feel, based on your Clash of the Titans Medusa answer earlier, I feel like I know your answer to this one, but number nine is Drider. To anybody who doesn't know what a Drider is, it is a dark elf, it is like a centaur setup, but with a dark elf upper half, dark elf torso and up, but with the bottom half being the thorax and legs of a spider. You can only imagine dark elves are into some kinky shit.
100%. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure all of our listeners definitely remember being whipped by the dark elf in the goblin camp of Baldur's Gate 3. If not, you were missing out on like one of the strongest buffs in the game.
The kink buff?
I'm pretty sure what the buff was is that like if you rolled the constitution saves to like not pass out by getting whipped by this like dark elf priest of love. Crazy time. But I'm pretty sure you got like
crazy time.
I'm pretty sure you got like advantage on all of your attacks for like the entirety of the game. Well, okay.
It is a kink bonus.
It was definitely a long rest, but I think you could extend it to the rest of the game. But you got it if you were bloodied. So basically if you became bloodied, you had advantage on all the attacks. So it was worth it for you to be like so close to dying to basically just Nova and go all out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've not played BG3. So did this priestess have the bottom half of a spider?
No, but speaking of people getting beat up by dark elf-like things, I'm trying to convince one of my friends in a current campaign we're playing to romance a Drider who actively beat the shit out of his character in a 1v1 duel. Right now, she's kind of mad at him because he didn't play fairly, but I still have hope for him.
Mm-hmm.
But
so you're encouraging of
I am
laying
Driders. I am encouraging of him laying this Drider. Therefore, I think I'm going to have to vote to lay the Drider.
You've got to set an example.
I have to be a good, you know, player character to support all of the other people in the party.
Understandable. So, Cole is a lay on the Drider. You know, myself personally, I feel like this is the ultimate example of the question of if you're a tits or ass guy. Not to objectify, but if you're a tits, we all have a preference. If you're an ass guy, ass person, ass they them, ass girl, ask anybody. If you're an ass favoring person, this is like you hit the jackpot, right? Ass and legs everywhere. You don't seem in support.
I was not sure where you were going with this. I thought you were going to go in the exact opposite direction, and I'm glad that you came upon the correct interpretation.
I feel like I got to go lay. So far, we've agreed on all three of our options.
Glad you're a logical person. But I'm honestly surprised that we have agreed as much.
All right. Well, let's see if the agreement continues. Give me another number.
25.
25. Bottom of the list. What do we have? We have we talked about with the Drider of having an excess of ass and legs. I feel like with this option you could have an excess of every body type, a body part. Not in a good way. The next one is a gibbering mouther. Anybody who's not familiar with a... Anybody who's not familiar with a gibbering mouther, it is basically a pink glob of flesh. And that's basic. It's a pink glob of hairless glob of flesh with mouths and eyes and body part basically spread throughout in random spots. Said mouths do gibber maddeningly. Thoughts?
I'm slaying this. I'm no.
Not even gonna consider it.
Look,
so many mouths, so many opportunities for great personalities.
Stop. I can't. No, I'm slaying the gibbering mouther. Do I think that there is some really freaky bard out there that can definitely figure out some use?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
But that is an extremely brave and an extremely stupid bard.
The very thin line, yes. Well, cool. We gotta keep an open mind. If this is a flesh conglomeration of several different people who have been tortured and killed and fused together in this abomination of life by the far realm entities, you know, that just means like there's more opportunity for all sorts of. I'm gonna stop there. Slay. Yeah, sure. I didn't like the track I was going down.
I was going to say, you should not be defending this. I was going to say, you would get eaten almost immediately.
not necessarily eaten. Probably eaten.
I'm sorry. Let me talk about it this way. The role to seduce here would be the voices of, like, hundreds of different people screaming at you. And you're like, do I really, really want to try and seduce the external physical embodiment of freaking multiple personalities?
Uh-huh. I was gonna say, if this is a conglomeration of the bodies and flesh of several different people, there's more opportunity for, so, you know, any type of body type can get representation. Anything you're into can be on this thing. But also, like, that's a lot of mouths. So, like, even if you're, it's a lot of mouths that never stop screaming in agony and madness. So if you're into, like, dirty talk during, that's something. But also there's going to be like five other mouths that are having different crazed conversations. So
exactly.
It's probably going to be distracting.
Plus, I think you have to bring up the point of, audience, you can't see this picture. If you know anything about David Cronenberg, this is probably the ugliest Cronenberg that Wizards of the Coast has to offer in their monster manual.
Yeah.
That may be a hot take. It may be not. I think it's the ugliest Cronenberg they've got.
I am seeing the mouths within mouths and teeth within teeth, yeah. Yeah, it's not great. But we don't judge.
Isn't that our job?
Well, yes, but, you know, body positivity. Even multiple bodies bound together through eldritch magic. But moving on from that, Cole, you want to give me another number? 23 is... I don't know if you're into, like, the kind of stuff that you only see in Japan.
If you say the word tentacles, my...
The subject came up in my mind. And you seem displeased.
This is why we need Ethan on the show.
What are you saying about Ethan? Relax, Ethan's our friend.
I would say for all of you, you've probably heard Ethan on one of our earlier episodes.
I think that episode may have gotten.
I'm not going to dig at him, but also, I feel like he's probably the person in our Dungeons and Dragons group that Kaden and I have together that would be the most likely to say lay to the Kraken.
I can't say that's untrue, and thus I won't.
I for the Kraken.
Would you release the Kraken? Going back to Clash of the Titans.
Would I release the Kraken? Yes. Would I lay the Kraken? No.
Okay, so you would just doom all of mankind, but you wouldn't sleep with the you would not sleep with the instrument of that doom.
Exactly. I'm not that terrible.
No?
But what about you? I feel like you're about to... I don't know what you're about to do, but I'm scared.
Neither do I, honestly. Because I am looking at the artwork for this. And I'm looking for any redeemable factors. Again, body positivity. Not here to judge, except when we are. I'm looking for anything. Anything you can work with here. And I'm not seeing it.
Oh, dude. The Kraken's eyes are below its mouth. It also just has, like, the weirdest little, like, Party City hat on top of it.
It is below and between and above the mouth. It's everywhere. It's in the middle of the mouth.
You know what? I think I'm also just going to have to... I'm going to defend Ethan on this. Because I think this is objectively a slay. For no matter what weird stuff people are into in general, especially as we're going to point out, very common with Japanese audiences for some reason.
Sorry, Japan.
Sorry, but also, why?
But also, you did this to yourself.
Yeah. The Kraken's tentacles are just way too huge.
Yeah.
Like,
you can see sharks for comparison. Nothing really can do with that. Yeah, unless you're into being squeezed. I know people learned that that's a thing.
Man, that...
I say I know that's a thing as if... never mind.
The more you say the words, I know it's a thing, makes me question what you do outside of this podcast. But no, I think even for the people that have this weird like tentacle kink... The Kraken's just too big.
Mm, yeah.
So I think the Kraken's a slay.
Kraken's a slay. I think it should be a slay.
All right. Well, next up, we've got number 10.
Number 10 is... Oh, okay. Now, this one on the surface, I feel like, is an obvious lay. But I think there are factors to consider that may inform us otherwise. We're looking at the Deva, it's like the lowest rank of angel. Now, you may hear that and hear sleep with an angel and think it's an obvious answer.
But I remember, that was generally decent things when it came up in Supernatural.
True, true. But the thing to consider with Devas is in D&D quote-unquote official lore, angels are Ken dolls. Smooth in the bottom. No bits.
Wait, what?
They are obviously robed in the artwork, but they don't have any bits. Don't have any bits.
Angels are canonically Ken dolls.
Yep. Yep. Ken dolls of the gods. So we've lost Cole. And he's back.
This canonic Ken doll thing is throwing me for a loop.
Yeah?
I mean, can they like alter form or something?
They don't have alter self. They don't have change shape. The Deva magically polymorphs into a humanoid or beast that has a challenge rating equal to or less than its own, or back to its true form. So I guess.
Okay, then polymorph here. It's kind of the same thing as a dragon.
Yeah,
as long as they can polymorph, you're fine. I think you just got to go with lay here because of the power of polymorph.
They can be whatever you want. And you also might get an Asimar child out of it.
Good things.
Yeah, if you were of the child-bearing persuasion. This artwork of the Deva also has a mace, so, you know, do what you will with that.
Powerful mace, again, a weapon in Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, yeah. deals a whole 4d8 radiant damage. It's impressive.
Yeah, I would say that mace is extremely powerful.
But that's the Deva. I feel like we can go lay with that one.
I feel like the magic of polymorph is going to convince me of a lot of lays.
That's true. That's true. Well, Deva, pretty easy answer. Now that we know about the shape changing ability, if we cut that out, if it didn't have shape changing, is he enough? He's considering.
Okay, so see, that's kind of the one problem that I feel like the Deva has, and it's, are they enough? I feel like we need a split line category of lay, slay, or have a beer with. Because, would I feel bad slaying it? Yes.
But I feel I feel like that gives us too easy of an out.
I know. Do I think they're enough? No.
Yeah. I mean, you can, even without the bits, there's other stuff you can do, right? If you get creative. But also, I feel like, angels, they're like very law-abiding, very by-the-books kind of agents of the gods. They're almost like machines in a way where they have their purpose and they can't think outside of that purpose.
Slay.
I feel like they're not going to be inventive, right?
I'm going to go with slay if without the shape changing, because it's basically just going to be, no freak.
And no freak.
And they're not Kenuff.
Not Kenuff. Next Deva I add into the game is being named Ken, or some variation of. Give me another number.
8.
8. This one's Griffin. What are you doing with a Griffin?
It's a bird.
It's a bird. It's a lion bird. Yeah. I feel like that's all we can or should say on this matter.
It's a lion bird.
Yeah. I mean, I need you to say it out loud.
I feel like I should use the double entendre of that lion bird is going to basically see the tip of my sword.
Okay.
But I think that's to slay it.
You're going to jab him with something?
I'm going to jab him with a literal sword. In order to kill it. Yeah,
in order to kill it, in order to murder it, yeah. Do nothing else with it. I feel like that's yeah.
We're slaying the griffin.
Yes, agreed. Moving on. Next number.
5.
5. Okay. Opposite end of the Deva. Opposite end of the Deva. Can you guess?
So we've got, if it's something humanoid, then we're going with a succubus.
Next up at 5 is the succubus / incubus.
Lay.
That is very fast of you. Very decisive.
I don't need to think about that one. That's literally their job.
It is their job. Well, their job is to seduce you, break down your soul morally, and send you to hell. Sex is part of that.
But what if your soul is already morally corrupt and you're already going to hell?
Then I feel like you should go to church. We should both go to church after this episode anyway, so that'll get covered.
Look, I feel like the one thing I enjoy about the succubus and the incubus is, especially in gameplay, a bard should always have advantage on the persuasion checks.
Mm-hmm.
Because, how could they turn down the bard?
Well, they're like a working professional. It's like a sex worker. Enjoy whatever you enjoy on your free time, but when it's business, there's a transaction to conduct.
I mean,
sex for soul.
I don't think that the succubus and the incubus can be thrown into those two boxes.
No?
How dare you?
Am I the problem?
You 100% are the problem. Is the
I did come up with this episode, you're right.
Is the morally gray bard who would sleep with anything the problem? No.
Well.
pl- Plus, I feel like I got to applaud, and still the obvious lay to the Incubus and Succubus, other than maybe a dragon who's polymorphed, mm-hmm. I feel like in most D&D campaigns that just get completely out of hand, mm-hmm. they are the sexual awakening for the bard.
Mm.
Like, a bard's antics will only get worse. And by worse, I mean more zany and more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of whatever fucked up shit an incubus, succubus, or a dragon does.
Right, right, yeah.
There is no way that I could slay this.
Interesting, interesting. So you're all for lay.
And I feel like you're about to pull some church shit on me.
Well, the... You know, the mortal soul is a factor in this decision. It should be a factor in all these decisions, honestly. But it's a more direct decision in this regard. I don't know. Here's where I'm at with it. They, even if you go in for the scoothy pooping, if we are to quote the Greens, Even if you're there for the scoothy pooping, you know in their head they're there for something else, right?
Yes, you probably
they're not there for you.
You probably know that they are there to take your soul.
They are there for their bottom line. You're just a transaction to them, and you know in that regard, there's not going to be any real passion. There'll be performative shit, I'm sure. But there's no emotion in there. It's just, like we said, it's just business. I think for that reason, I have to say, slay.
I can't believe that our first disagreement...
comes from the succubus.
Comes. For the succubus.
Well, we had to disagree somewhere, and I'm glad it's on the weirdest choice.
What should have been the most obvious choice?
Should have been. You would think. But I think, like, you know... There's no joy in it, right? No, they don't want to be there. They're just ready to clock out. They're just ready to send you to damnation, and then they're done.
Yeah,
I'm not a hookup kind of guy.
But you can always get your soul back. That's part of the point of D&D. You can always go down, break the contract, kill the demon after they take your soul, and it just becomes yours again.
Well, then you're just cutting out, you know that worker's going to get fired at that point, right? Their devilish pimp is going to have some words to say about that.
I mean, yeah. But, I mean, if you're calling them basically people under a devilish pimp, again, you're still just degrading how epic the succubus and the incubus are. They are some of the coolest infernal? They're devils, right?
Yes.
Yeah, remember, the Nine Hells always better than the Abyss.
I disagree. I prefer the Abyss. I prefer demons over devils. And I also think it just, like, tangent. I think it makes sense for succubi and incubi to be on the demonic side. I think actually nowadays they're more like in between. They have no ties to either singular plane. I think like both devils and demons make use of them. In the different layers of the Abyss and or Hells. But I think if we're going to choose one over the other, if we are going to say that Succubi and Incubi belong in one camp, I feel like it makes more sense to put them in the Abyss, right? Because it's like, it's base desires. It's like those physical wants you have that forces you to put logic to the side, right? And that's chaotic. They're not making deals. You can make a deal as an incubus or a succubus by, like, give me a soul, I give you poontang. But I feel like the idea of giving into your base desires is more chaotic and thus demonic rather than lawful and thus devilish. Unless you want to go in, like, the very direct sex worker line of thought with it, in that case, you just make them eukoloths. Because that's a transaction.
You know what? I honestly forgot that eukoloth existed.
Yeah. Most people do.
But also, I think this is a challenge.
Oh?
That is not meant for anybody but the writers. I think that succubi and incubi can just exist.
Can just exist? They should just be both.
Just be their thing. They yeah. are a thing. They don't need to be connected to other things.
Mm-hmm.
I say
they
free...
are fiends of subduction and, seduction and temptation.
Free them from their pimps.
Fair. But, tangent over, we have disagreed. We have broken the streak. Let's see if the disagreement and infighting continues. Give me another number.
17.
What 17? A 17 from the Curse of Strahd is the tree blight.
The what?
I need to look up an image of this, because I don't have the Curse of Strahd book on me.
I can't believe you pulled something from the Curse of Strahd, honestly.
I had pulled these from a random monster generator.
Oh, how dare you.
I wanted it to be random. Okay, it's just a big cursed tree-looking thing. Just a big tree. If you like wood.
But like, a hot tree?
Tree with mouth. Tree with sharp, barky mouth. I feel like there's not enough lube in the world. Or sap.
Dude, this tree blight is basically, I am not Knuff.
Nothing about it that is Knuff.
This is literally a worse Thiva.
Are we looking at the same thing? I just see a tree. It doesn't look humanoid.
Sorry, I'm looking at twig blights. Close.
Twig blights are something else.
Entirely different.
Yeah, the tree blight I'm looking at is just a big old tree with a big old mouth.
Slay to the tree blight. But also, for some reason, I can just see it in your eyes. That you're just going to go with, it has a mouth, therefore, lay.
No. Nuh-uh. I wasn't going to say lay.
Fine, then give me your reason that you're going to say lay, because I know you
are. I was going to say slay. I said at the start, there's not enough lube or sap in the world. Also, I feel like sap would make a terrible lube.
Fair point.
I feel, when you say big mouth... I feel like some people's minds go in a certain direction, but, like, that's a very sharp, woody, splintery mouth. I don't think you can do anything with that. Nothing comfortable.
I'm glad you're seeing sanity now after this whole... I'm not sure what to think after the disagreement. I'm not sure whether just a flip switched and all of your takes are just going to become the hottest takes meant to start World War III.
You're gonna question my desire for some emotional connection that the incubus / succubus is not gonna give me?
Yes.
Okay, if you say so. Well, Tree Blight, when you see the Wicker Devil in Tree Afterlife, tell him we sent you. Cole, send me another number.
I got cursed with the number 7.
7, that is, and the distinction is important, adult bronze dragon.
Can it polymorph?
I think all the metallics can polymorph.
Lay.
My initial assumption is to agree with you. I'm looking up the dragons. Which one is the bronze? The bronze one is like the one with like a little bit of green on it, right?
Yes, that is the bronze one.
Yeah. So even that's an animal. But it's got some nice color to it. You can imagine once it's polymorphed, some nice blonde hair, green eyes. That sounds very... Aryan of me. Whoops.
You were very close to Aryan. only
Scratch that.
I would say only a mix of yellow in the eyes away.
But now you know if you ever come across a beautiful NPC with blonde hair and green eyes in one of my games, you'll know it's a dragon. But yeah,
so
I mean,
I'll,
it's classic.
So I'll roll to seduce it with my ugly-ass character that I am.
Your ugly-ass half-dead character. But yeah, it's classic. Like, when you think roll to seduce, you think dragons. When you think the bard is going to seduce a weird creature, you think dragons. It's strong, it's powerful, it's magical. It can be whatever, it can take on whatever appearance that is best suited to both you and them. So again, body positivity. Coming back to it, I feel like the obvious answer is lay.
Thank you. I was gonna. Yeah. At least you were able to make this obvious decision.
Yeah. I also think the brass, I also think the bronze ones are like, aren't they the ones that's on the coast? Yeah, they live on the coasts, so, you know, nice beachside venue for said laying.
So what if a dragon polymorphed into a mermaid?
Then you gotta deal with the tail.
Yeah, but still, it's the dragon that polymorphed into the mermaid, but could also polymorph into just a regular human who could swim.
Let's see, change shape. Can polymorph into a humanoid or beast?
A mermaid has to be humanoid.
I think it's a monstrosity.
You're kidding me.
I don't think I have mermaids on this list, so let's go ahead and check. Mermaids, merfolk.
Merfolk are ugly.
They are humanoid. They are ugly, but they're also humanoid.
Yeah, I
they're
think...
not Disney mermaids.
Oh, yeah, they are uglier. All right, well, I still think the bronze dragon is just, again, one of those things. It will awaken a bard.
Yeah.
To all of the different seduction avenues there are in the Forgotten Realms.
Mm-hmm. Have you, real question, have you ever seduced a dragon in D&D? I haven't.
I have seduced death.
No, yeah, I know that. That was not the question.
But I have not seduced a dragon.
Mm. I feel like we're missing out.
I would say the amount of like sentient undead things that my characters have attempted to seduce is pretty crazy.
I think any amount should be crazy, yeah.
But I was going to say, one, because a character... I've played two undead characters in, like, recent campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And one was a Shatterkai.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, now that I think about it, I don't think I've played a race outside of the Ravenloft, like, horror expansion in the past like 3 years. I don't think I've played a single race outside of that expansion.
I was about to say, because you've done Dampiers at least a couple times
and Hexbloods.
Yeah
honestly, I know it has nothing to do with the seduction value, but that Ravenloft expansion, if you guys don't have that, I know supporting Wizards of the Coast is questionable over the years, as you guys will probably see on lots of YouTube stuff, but
yes,
spend the money on your own physical copy of that Ravenloft book. I love it. But what's up next?
You tell me. What's our next number?
Oh no, more numbers. Have we done four yet?
Have we done four? That was the Bone Devil.
Three.
Okay. This one, I feel like this will take a visual for you. I feel like you'll have to look at this one. This one is the Dark Mantle.
Isn't the Dark Mantle just the stingray that's in the shadows?
It's either that... No. I think you're thinking of the cloaker. The Dark Mantle is like the one that pretends to be like a stalagmite or stalactite. I am sending you a picture.
See, not my cup of tea.
No?
But this is probably as close as the Japanese can get to fulfilling their fantasy with a monster in D&D.
It's pretty phallic.
But it also has tentacles.
it's got so much to offer. It's basically a pointier squid, if we're looking at it.
But, hold on, doesn't require you to be in the water.
True. It doesn't have a swim speed, but it does have a fly speed, weirdly enough. Look, swim through the air.
For me, like I said, I'm going to be the banner holder for Slay. I'm slaying the Dark Mantle. However, this really fulfills a lot of like weird kinks that could exist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. None of them good, even though we don't judge.
But like the Dark Mantle really could just be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the fly speed. Like, think about it. It may take a few days,
mm-hmm.
but free flight to Paris, wine and dine you. I think there's a lot more utility to the Dark Mantle than just the simple lay or slay. I think that, Cadden, you with this whole emotional connection thing,
mm-hmm.
I think there is more brought to the table that could help establish that emotional connection.
It's true.
Again, my opinion, slay. But I can see why people would choose lay. However, I will judge you if you do.
Well, Colt, can I persuade you with the combination of the darkness aura, so you don't even have to get up out of bed to turn off the lights, and its blind sight, so even in the dark, it knows where to look around, you know?
That makes it weirder.
Worse. What about the action crush? That do anything for you?
I mean, pain can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's still weird.
No? All right. If you say so. Well,
I think the bad thing is that it is basically a squid or an octopus. It is an animal with tentacles.
Yeah. You do bring up the offering of the emotional connection and flying to Paris, but honestly, I don't think it can accomplish that either. It does have an intelligence of 2 and a charisma of 5, so it's not going to be having any deep conversations anytime soon, and it also has no languages, because it is basically a magic cave-dwelling squid. So in that regard,
it wouldn't even know to seduce you then. Like, no. It would just try to kill you.
You would be doing the seducing in this regard.
With an intelligence of 2, I just don't think it would even work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kind of disappointed.
Although its tactic for killing its prey is clinging to the top of cave ceilings, impersonating a stalactite, and then dropping onto its prey in order to crush it. So, working with that, I'm sure there are all types of, you know, dropping in kind of pickup lines you could use.
You know, true. But I feel like those are the lines for a different type of bard.
It also wouldn't do much considering it can't speak. Yeah, slay.
Disappointing. I felt like we had found the one answer for that community. And mm-hmm. instead, it's just a failure.
Though that community, it's going to do what it does. And we're not going to look at them when they do it. We're going to look at our next number. Cole.
12.
12. Is a flying sword. Just a flying sword, an animated sword that flies around on its own through magic. You know, if you're into, you know, if you use toys, this one's handheld. Or not, it doesn't have to be handheld. I feel like that's how you have to approach this one. Is it's not a partner, it's a toy.
I think for the fact of how many different, like, Shakespeare double entendres that you can make with a flying mm-hmm. sword.
Oh, yes.
I feel like it's just going to be great to have around no matter what.
Mm,
yeah. Plus, you could use it to slay.
Mm.
You could also use it to lay.
Yes.
I think my answer to this one is lay and slay.
You know what? Based. This is a tool. What's its intelligence? One. It doesn't talk. It doesn't think. Doesn't do anything. But it is basically around to follow commands, I guess.
You could control it, though. I feel like
you can control it.
I feel like you should start offering that in your campaigns now. Just not as an enemy, but
it's
just
a dull
as
sword.
Just as a kink item.
Yeah. It's a dull sword. You can't kill anybody with it, but it's there. All right. We have our first tie, I guess. I think we mean slay in a different way. We use it to slay.
Yeah, no.
And use it to lay.
We're not going to slay the sword. We 100% respect the sword. It is mm-hmm. a tool for both things.
Yes.
And I think it's transcended this list.
Mm-hmm. All right. Flying sword. Not a partner, but a tool. All right, what else we got? What's our next number?
Caden, honestly, I am re-rolling every number known to man.
That's fine. That's fine.
So I'm just going to go with number one.
Number one. Speaking of Curse of Strahd, as we were earlier, Count Strahd von Zarovich.
Lay.
Lay, yeah. I think that's easy. He's a landowner. He did become a vampire by being possessive over his brother's wife, which brought about the desire to kill his brother.
But you mentioned the most important part here. He is a landowner. Do you realize how hard it is to have his own mansion as well as rule over a small kingdom that nobody can escape from?
Yeah, can't get away. Can't get away. Gotta lay. That sounds bad. This is problematic.
But he's hot. I don't have my whistle, but I feel like you've just forced the situation.
Yeah, maybe we should slay.
No, it's still lay. But
still lay?
Still lay, but
still lay after a conversation in therapy.
Yeah. But also, I'm going to be keeping my eye on you because I'm scared.
You know, you can add a bit of danger, an element of threat on your life.
Yeah, but like
a bit of spice.
But like Strahd is so charming to everybody.
He is.
Like he does want to suck your blood and kill you, but he's so charming.
Can suck something else. All right. You know what? I'll disagree with you. And I'll say slay, just so we have all our bases covered.
I don't hate you as much for this one.
You distract him, and I'll come in with the flying sword.
I feel like it would be a bard's natural goal to seduce Strahd. And like, if a bard could seduce Strahd and not Strahd seduce the bard, that's just like a game of wits right there.
Yeah.
But also, Strahd vampire, like, come on. I was gonna say he's also humanoid, which is a big plus just in general.
Looking at this list, yeah.
So
all right,
yeah.
So you keep Strahd busy in the coffin, and I'll come in with the sword. We both get what we want.
All right, what is next?
Give us a number.
18.
18. I don't think we've done 18. We have not. Troglodyte. I think the biggest thing to consider, other than the fact that they're lizard people, is the smell of troglodytes. The troglodyte smell is their biggest thing. It's like, I think it's like their smell is actually harmful or poisonous or something. Yeah, stench. Any creature other than a troglodyte that starts its turn within 5 feet of the troglodyte must succeed on a DC 12 con save or be poisoned. It smells so bad within a 5 foot range that you might die.
Yeah, that's a slay.
No amount of baths in the world that can fix that.
Not at all.
No.
So next one, 21.
21. Goblin boss. Not a goblin, but a goblin boss, which is a goblin that's in charge. Senior position. He's an employer. He runs his own business. Or she. They run their own business.
Nope. Goblins don't deserve to be bosses.
No?
Slay.
Slay? But they're a business owner.
And my point, should goblins be business owners? Probably not. I don't think I can support this goblin boss. Now, it may be D&D racism. It probably is D&D racism.
It is. All I'm saying is neither I'm not a goblin, you're not a goblin, they're a goblin. That implies they're not our goblin boss, so there isn't a problematic power dynamic here. And all I'm hearing is that they're self-employed, can choose their own hours, probably got some income from those civilians it robbed on the road.
Okay.
I think this is an absolute win.
Hold on. I am looking back over the new 5.5e goblin art. Goblins aren't super ugly. They honestly just look like smaller hobgoblins.
Yeah.
They used to be significantly uglier.
They're ugly. Yeah. But we don't judge.
And you know what? You're right. I am judging. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
I was going to say one of my favorite goblins is a detective in Dimension 20, of course.
Mm.
So they can have personality. And you're right. A goblin boss is a small business owner.
It's true.
Which means they probably also have a house.
Mm. A cave, even.
Yeah, and as long as they have a place to lay, then they should be laid. Lay the goblin boss.
Lay the goblin boss. Couldn't agree more.
I would say you convinced me on that one.
Well, what is our next topic? Next choice?
I have no idea. Have we done number two yet?
Have we done number two? We sure haven't, because the number two option is Avatar of Death. You were just talking about seducing death earlier. So this is not like a late Mistress Death from Marvel Comics. This is not Aubrey Plaza. This is like, you know, a cloaked skeleton with a scythe.
So obvious slay here, because I'm pretty sure even if they touch you at all, you take necrotic damage.
I'm pulling up a Dungeon Master's Guide where this is listed.
And I don't want to die within like a span of like, well, it's probably only going to be like, what, 10 seconds before they do enough damage to kill you?
Oh, I thought you were broadcasting your virality.
No. I was trying to calculate how much damage an Avatar of Death does. Because as I figured out only a short time ago, they can't miss. Like,
oh yeah,
they
Avatar
just
sweeps its spectral scythe through a creature within 5 feet. Yeah,
they just do the damage.
Oh damn, I didn't know that.
So I'm pretty sure it is impossible to lay. You would just die.
But isn't that why you want to go out? Isn't that how you want to go out? Go out, going down, right?
According to A Thousand Ways to Die, it is a respectable way to go out, but also. Yeah. I feel like you have to be able to lay and then die.
Mm.
Like, I feel like in the case of the Avatar of Death, you would die trying to lay.
That's true. I don't think either. If this thing is dealing an average of 11 hit points per scythe swing, I don't think either of us have 11 hit points or more in real life.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd be dead instantaneously.
Yeah, we are commoners.
So
a podcaster stat block.
There should be, though.
Yeah, we can make one. Thunder damage.
We should just have Dissonant Whispers as a spell that we can just cast endlessly.
Vicious Mockery, yeah.
Yeah, basically just make us a bard with all the vocal spells, but we don't have spell slots. Mm. We can just do
them. I guess we are bards in this regard.
See, this works out even better. We have to play into the bard stereotypes because we are bards.
So you're saying lay. On the Avatar of Death.
No. Slay.
No? All right. I guess I agree. I guess you can't get anything done in this regard.
No. All right, Cadden. I think we've gone through a handful.
We've gone through a number of them.
All right. I think we should probably wrap up with, what, number 13? We haven't done 13 yet.
No, we haven't. Cole, what the heck would you do with a gelatinous cube?
Okay, so this one should be an obvious slay.
I mean, it's always wet, but if you touch any of the wetness, it is going to burn off your bits. It is going to acid burn your bits.
Yeah, I think this is just one of those, like the Avatar of Death, where it's just like, you cannot lay. You're right. Like there is the ability of like, you know, lubricant, but also you're just basically getting acid damage to take away any part of you that would make the lay fun. And
it's true.
Yeah, I feel like that would just be depressing. You have to slay the gelatinous cube.
Yeah. It's not enough protection in the world to get anything done with that.
Say, but only think about if the gelatinous cube could control the acid damage. I would say there would be some people.
But it can't. It can't because it's not intelligent. I think oozes have like an intelligence of one.
You know, that's
can't
something
turn it off.
That's something I think we've ignored this entire time. But I feel like I've gone pretty well into keeping my pattern. Intelligence is a big part of this layer slay.
Yes, it should be.
So I feel like the more intelligent something is, the more you can kind of overlook some of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But also, now that I think about it, I feel like that is just a bard. If something can speak a language that you can understand, you will try and seduce it.
This gelatinous cube cannot. It has an intelligence and a charisma of one and speaks no languages.
Yeah.
It is just there to suck. But not in the fun way.
You didn't have to say it like that.
Yeah, I did.
But yeah, no, slay the gelatinous cube. I was going to say,
slay the gelatinous cube.
It's nowhere near smart enough for even the horniest of bards.
No. Neither is the sword, but like we're using the sword for a different reason.
Yeah, the sword is not used for, you know, to lay or to slay. Well,
yeah,
you're not laying or slaying
it's
the sword.
It's used for
you're
it.
You're using it for it.
Yeah, it's not the partner, it's the tool. Well, I think that's a good enough spot to call it. I think we've made some interesting decisions. I think we have some leftover options to return to perhaps another lay or slay episode in the future.
I'm scared to see what viable options we have missed, because I think we basically covered everything.
I don't want to reveal too much, but in review, we said lay and slay Count Strahd von Zarevich. You lay, I'll slay. We slay the Avatar of Death, because you can't really do anything with that. Slay the Dark Mantle, because it's basically a squid. Slay the Bone Devil, because it's scary looking. Lay and slay the Incubus and Succubus. A divisive decision there. We lay the adult bronze dragon. Adult, if it were a wormling, this would be creepy. But we lay the adult bronze dragon. We slay the griffin. We lay the drider and the deva. We make use of the flying sword for laying and slaying. We slay the gelatinous cube. We slay the tree blight and the troglodyte. That kind of rhymed. We lay the Medusa with the caveat of the drapes. We turned around on laying the goblin boss. We slay the kraken because you can't really do anything with that. And you slay the gibbering mouther because you get it.
I'm honestly surprised how much we agreed.
Yeah, yeah. That's why we're friends.
Yes, but also, I feel like if I wasn't here to rein you in with logic, you would have been an absolute freak.
Maybe. Who is to say? I don't know.
And that gives me no trust.
Will we stay friends until next episode? Who knows? Maybe this is the last episode of the show. We only do solo episodes from now on. We don't talk.
I say, just be prepared for me to bring up the fact that he would not lay Strahd or a succubus.
He's problematic, and they're distracted.
Look, everybody, this is the thing.
You can't fix him, Cole.
The emotional connection. I would say that's what Cadden's here for. So if any of you have any ideas of D&D monsters, NPCs, whatever, that would fulfill his quest for genuine emotional connection.
Wingman me with your monsters and your NPCs.
I know. Then let us know, and we'll try to include that in a maybe sequel.
Maybe sequel. Well, otherwise, audience, let us know what you think. Which of your monsters, homebrew or otherwise, would be a good match for me, I guess. Hinge isn't working. So I'm excited to hear your options and recommendations. Secondly, did this awaken anything in you? You don't have to tell us, but you can. We'll read those comments.
I won't.
But cool. No. I'll let Cole know. I'll leave Cole a long voice memo reading all the comments.
And I will dread every second of it.
Yeah, Cole, you want to wrap us out? Unless you have anything else to say?
I think I'm good. This has been a great time.
Great
hopefully
time.
Any further sequels will be less chaotic or Cadden,
or more.
You know. Or more chaotic. Let's just hope that Cadden doesn't get freakier. Anyways,
no promises.
I am Cole Browning.
I'm Gadda MacArthur.
And this has been Unquestionably Nerdy. Good night.
Good night.